You may open your Bibles for a message to Luke chapter 10. The title of the message is taken from Luke chapter 10, verse 42. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. We know the story. Story of Mary and Martha and the choices that they had before them. And Jesus says, Mary hath chosen that good part. That's the title of the message this morning, Choosing That Good Part. Yet Jesus commended Mary for making a good choice. She may have been in turmoil to make a decision. Maybe it was a few minutes. What should I do? Should I help Martha or sit by Jesus? She made that choice to sit at the feet of Jesus. We cannot avoid making choices in life. Life is about making choices. This may be a difficult reality of life. There's maybe children here that are anxious to make more choices. Maybe there's adults here that wish you wouldn't have to make as many choices as you need to. You know, people relate to choices differently. Some procrastinate. And others agonize over choices. There's those that just make rash choices. They're quick to make a choice. There are those that endeavor to push their decisions on others, while there's some that make as many decisions as possible for everyone. There's a big difference in people makeup when it comes to choices. There's many choices that some don't matter. When you stand and make a selection of toothpaste, there's just a lot of choices. Some that do not matter a lot, some that matter a lot. No matter where we fit into the spectrum, who we are today is a result of choices that we have made. And I was reminded very forcefully last week that where we are today is a result of choices that we make. I visited a prison north of New York City called Sing Sing Prison. Something that I wanted to, one of the goals this summer was to go visit a friend by the name of Terrell in prison at Sing Sing and take my schoolboys along to visit him. We did that last Friday. People get themselves in some regrettable situations because of choices. And that was underscored as I sat there Friday afternoon visiting with Terrell. He said that most of these people here, are men here because of murder. Didn't really think about that as I looked at all the men in the room. They get visitors. All the men need to sit towards there was a high area at one end where there was people that watched everything that went on. A room that could hold maybe 300 people. A lot of tables. It's a huge, huge prison. It's an old prison. But it's where you met if you wanted to visit. But all the inmates need to sit facing the authority. Different times they would make a call out there. Made a call out to me because I left my boys go over to a window to look out towards the Hudson River, and I was soon called down. You need to be with your boys. But to think that so many are behind prison, we don't think about that when we wake up, that there's tens and thousands. I think there's a million plus in this country. behind bars because of choices they made. It's a max security prison. But Terrell's a Christian. I believe he's a Christian. He's very congenial, seems to be, has accepted where he is, and always mentioned how cheerful and joking he is. But he asked my boys, he said, now, looked at my youngest, the 8-year-old, gave him a situation and said, what would you do? He emphasized obedience. That they are obedient. When you're in that situation, saying it means quite a bit. Some time ago, I spoke with someone familiar with a man in prison, and his comment was that he made some bad choices, and this is the results. We want to think about choices this morning. We like to, first of all, think about the battle to choose the good part. And then secondly, principles for choosing the good part. And thirdly, results for choosing the good part. The battle to choose the good part. A battle is often associated with moral choices. This morning we're not talking about those little choices that you need to decide, and shampoo and toothpaste. It's some moral choices that put those men behind bars. But it's more than that. We want to go to heaven. We don't want to just stay out of prison this morning. We want to go to heaven. And the only way we're going to make it to heaven is if we make some right choices. Mary was likely battling some guilt and condemnation for ignoring the most important. That's if she was helping her sister. And I wonder if she wasn't helping her sister. And she made a choice to quit preparing and enjoy fellowship with their guest, Jesus Christ. We like to think about three things about this battle. This battle to choose the good part. And I trust you connect to that. I connect to that. That as I make choices, there's a battle. First of all, Satan's goal is training people not to think. You're not thinking is one of the simple reasons why thousands of souls, and I shudder to think of that there's souls today being sent to a lake of fire. They get a foretaste of hell. It's where the rich man was. But you think of that those men and women are not thinking. They're not considering. They're not reflecting. They're not looking ahead. They're just living for today. They're not thinking about the end result. They're not thinking about their present course and where it's going to end up. And just so suddenly they're taken out of this life and they're at a place that they never planned to go. But it was a choices that they were making. There's many people today that just go with the flow. Unless they choose differently, they will find themselves damned to hellfire simply because they were not thinking. They were not considering the path that they were taking. Wrong choices were often a failure of serious and quiet thinking. You know, we recognize this morning that sin is not packaged in skull bones and crossbones and skull, or you know, I get spray material and there's things on there that let me know that, you know, this is dangerous. But sin isn't packaged that way. It's always some really nice wrapping paper. And it's pretty. It's desirable. And And I challenge young people this morning. There's many of you that are here. That we live in a world that we cannot do well without thinking. We need to stop. We need to think. We need to slow down. You know, Esau, he had to have his brother's stew. His brother sold him he sold his birthright. And just when he woke up that day, he probably didn't think he was going to do that. He wasn't giving it thought. But he did it. And it was a regrettable decision. There's a Spanish proverb that says, hurry comes from the devil. We're thinking of a few thoughts on the battle to choose the good part. The second thought on that, the battle to choose the good part, is that the natural man complicates the choice. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. The natural man complicates the choice. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. As I mentioned, Esau is an example of this. He thought he needed food at whatever cost. There are passions, feelings, and dreams. And this can make things seem right that are not right, but they seem like they're right. Samson would be an example of this. He began to compromise principles for his passions, and apparently they seemed right, and he did them. But the end results were him working at a grindstone with his eyes out. That was the result of him, instead of embracing principles that are sometimes very hard to follow your feelings and passions and desires. And that, you see what I'm saying about the natural man complicates the choice when we have the decision to make. Galatians 5:17. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. If you're a real Christian this morning, you know what I'm talking about. If you're confronting your flesh, there's a battle going on, and this natural man complicates our choices. It doesn't need to control them, but it can make it difficult. And I have just a little something here for, I'm going to give opportunity for some children to have a couple of choices. Is there any children that are going to school, to first grade this coming year? You're a preschooler. Raise your hand if you're going to school. You're going to go to first grade. Okay. Well, maybe a boy and a girl, the Weaver girl. You want to come up front here? You're Aaron's daughter. You want to come up front? I have something for you. Is there any boys? You're going to first grade. Yes, you can come up here. Both? She's too shy to come up. You'll come up. I have something up here for you. You can make a choice. You're all excited about, both of you are going to be going to a brand new school, right? Now, I have some choices for you. I have four things. And you're going to have to choose. This is, you know what that is, right? Who's the oldest here? Are you six? You're seven? How old are you?
Six.
Okay, that makes it easy. That's a Hershey. This is one of my favorite. I'm not sure. This is good too. This is
peanuts. There's gum. Now, I took a little bit. I just, if you choose that, there's going to be a few missing in there. And there's a brand new pen. You may have a choice. What do you want? All right. You can have that. You know it started already. Okay. What's your choice? Thank you. You may go back to your seats. I get left with the good stuff, right? Well, they made their choices. All right, choices. But you know what? If you would have chosen the pen, this would last longer than the gum, wouldn't it? Well, you see how the natural man complicates the choice. This here, once you get older, you start thinking about this. You get better snacking. So I'm fine to have that left. Thirdly, we're thinking about this battle of making choices. Thirdly, a chain of poor choices is hard to break. 1 Kings chapter 18, 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word. It's an interesting verse. Again, he was saying, make a choice. Are you for God or are you for Baal? And they had nothing to say. Why were they quiet? I don't know for sure, but I think it's because they liked Baal worship. Baal worship was sensual. It was exciting compared to the Jewish patterns of worship. It's exactly why a lot of people wouldn't enjoy a service like this. They would want to go to where they have a lot more drama than this. That was some of it, I believe. The Baal worship was sensual and exciting. Now they were being asked to turn their back on what they learned to enjoy. They enjoyed Baal worship. Now, to turn from what gives an adrenaline rush is a hard thing. Now to go back to the old way of worship seemed boring. You see, it's very hard for a man to turn his back on what pumps his ego, what gets him feeling good. We need to think about that. There's many that make bad decisions. Remember sitting with a young man and he made mistakes. And there's some mistakes that are hard to redo. You just need to live with the results of bad choices. Secondly, we like to think about principles for choosing the good part. We need something to go by. You know, like the carpenter. If he wants a building on the at the end that is square, that is things fit together, he's going to need something to go by. In order to have the end product every day, he needs to respect his instruments and his tools. You know, as we as Christians, if we're going to have something in the end, we need something that we consistently go by, and that is the Word of God. First of all, I'd like to think about the fear of God. That's the first principle that I have listed in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. Like a few verses from Proverbs. This is going to help us to make good choices in life. To have a fear of God. Proverbs 1 verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Verses 29 through 31. For they that hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. One verse in Psalms 25, verse 12. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. Interesting verse. Notice the word choose. Yeah, this is the starting point for making good choices in life, is to have a fear of God. You know, without the fear of God, there is confusion. There is frustration. Without the fear of God, there will be compromise. We'll give in here and there. Young people this morning, if you want to make good choices, cultivate a healthy fear of God. Be God conscious. Think about God, that He's watching me. He knows me. He's there. We can't get away. Have reverence in your heart for God. There is a real danger, and I believe this is particularly for young people, and that is to have a greater fear of man than God. Of course, it affects us all. But young people, there can be a lot of peer pressure. We're concerned about what people think. But really, that is having a fear of man instead of a fear of God. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25. I'd like to read 29, verse 25. It's a very good verse to remember. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Your snare is bondage. To fear man's opinion more than God's opinion is very unwise. And it's going to start you in a path of wrong choices. I encourage you young people this morning to be bold for God. Don't be afraid to let your friends know that you value your soul more than anything else in the world. And you're not going to sell out just to try to get attention or get accepted. That you stand for something. Don't be intimidated to stand strong for the right. And we can raise that question. Where is my security? Is it in acceptance, you know, people, or is it with God? If it's pretty much on people, we're going to live a stressful life, because we're going to always be trying to figure out where we are with people. But, you know, if we start figuring out where we are with God and have that clear, a lot of these other things will find their way and find their place. Thinking of principles for choosing the good part secondly, is embrace truth. Psalms 119, verses 30 and 31. Yet choosing the good part requires a guide to determine the good part. What is good? Psalms 119, 30 and 31. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgment have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. Notice that. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. There's a steadfastness there. We as Christians, we need to constantly be digging for truth, enjoying truth. Back when there was a gold rush, you know, people headed west. California, they wanted gold. Well, as Christians, we should be constantly digging for truth. We're interested in a truth rush. We take time for it. We get something for us, for our inside. Thirdly, is to identify with God's people. We think of different places in Scripture where people identified. We think of Ruth and Moses. It was Ruth that said that, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God." Throughout history, God's people desired fellowship with each other. And that's why I enjoyed this verse here this morning. If there's going to be exhorting one another daily, there's going to be, you know, we're going to find another Christian. We can't exhort ourselves. It's exhorting one another. So we find other Christians that we love, and we reach out to them, and they reach out to us. That's a mark of a Christian. He desires fellowship with other Christians. He will make changes in fellowship, like in Psalms 1. He's going to stop being with the wicked. He'll change fellowship. Start being with God's people. There's so many people that with good intentions, they have good intentions, but they don't make a break from the bad because they're with the wrong crowd. They can't get away from the wrong crowd. And I've been surprised at statistics of even those that return back into prison. I remember the previous time I visited prison, I learned the numbers was how many end up right back in is really, really sad. But they get with the wrong crowd again, and then they get into wrong things again. And we need, if we're going to make right choices in life, I think it's very important that we identify and are with the right people. Fourthly, is to learn to be serious and thoughtful. Learn to be serious and thoughtful. We talked about that there's many people end up where they never thought because they're just not thinking. They're not being serious. Ecclesiastes 7 verses 2 through 4 says, "It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools." Learn to be serious and thoughtful. Matthew Henry tells of a story of a great statesman in Queen Elizabeth's time, who retired from public service in his latter days, and he gave himself to serious thought. His former merry companions came to visit him and told him that he was becoming somber. "No," he replied, "I'm serious, for everyone around me is serious. God is serious in observing us. Christ is serious in interceding for us. The Spirit is serious in striving with us. The truths of God are serious. Our spiritual enemies are serious in their endeavors to ruin us. Poor lost sinners are serious in hell. Why then should you and I not be serious too?" Some good thoughts there. Principles to choose that good part. I think we need to be serious and we need to be thoughtful. You know, if Mary had been a giddy, lighthearted, you know, looking for a good time, looking for the next joke. What if she made the choice that she did to sit at the feet of Jesus? You know, I believe if we're going to make good choices in life, there's going to take some seriousness and some thoughtfulness. We need to take time for calm reflection. And of our life, the direction of our life, where we are, where we're going. Think about this. I think of a friend that I went to Bible school with at Messiah. I hadn't known him before, but he was just a lot of fun. We had a short friendship. We laughed a lot. And he was just sort of a fellow that, you know, he lived for a good time. But that got him in some regrettable places, that we're in completely two different worlds today. He's not at all where he should be. And I say that to you young ladies this morning, that you be careful about young men that laugh the loudest, that share the most jokes, and are hardly ever serious. Think about that. Thirdly, we like to consider briefly the results of choosing the good part. The results. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Verse 9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You see, people can sometimes get a little tired of making good decisions. We need to think about the results. Results. I've listed four results. There's others. What avoids the reaping of sinful living? You know, there's so much heartache in following a life of sin. There's confusion. There's guilt. You know, Satan doesn't package it that way. But we can avoid the reaping of sinful living. It's like I remember one young man saying, well, this is not what I believe. But where he was regrettable. You see, it's very important that we have a foundation and we act out of proper belief. Results of choosing the good part is power for living God's way. Brethren and sisters, there is power to make right choices. There really is. You know, I gave those children some choices there. Those choices were not here nor there. But we as young people and adults, we have some choices that are a lot more critical than those choices. And do we have the power to make the right choice? To make the best choice? And there's a whole scope of choices, from music to clothing to friendships to what we do with our time, where we look, what we buy, what we read. We're not stuck. There is power for us to live a holy, pure life that is acceptable with God. Thirdly, there's a real future. There's a future that excludes all the bad and includes all the good. That's exciting. A future that excludes all the bad and includes all the good. Fourthly, there's thinking of the results is commendation from Jesus Christ. I believe Mary had some good feelings. I may use that word, from Jesus' approval of her choice. If Jesus would have sided with Martha, with Martha's criticism, Mary certainly would have felt bad. But Jesus praised Mary's choice, saying that, Mary, you made a good choice. Friends, this morning, Jesus sees our choices no less of a way than she saw Mary and Martha's choice that day. We believe Jesus is alive. He sees everything. He sees what we're going to do the rest of the day. Jesus, remember that. Jesus is in no less of a way seeing us today and the choices that we are making. I'd like to just read a verse in Revelation yet, thinking of commendation from Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. Is he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Think about that. That the Christians that are lived a righteous life, a life of good choices, a life where they made bad choices, they got those choices under the blood of Jesus. And I want to mention that clearly, that I'm glad there's a path to get forgiven of bad choices. And that's what is exciting, when people are on the wrong road and they can turn around and even be reaping for their bad choices, but they're a Christian because they repented. They put those bad choices under the blood of Jesus, and they might be in prison and might have been in gangs and murder people, yet they've repented, they became a Christian, and now they're on their way to heaven. The closing thought I want each of us to think about is Jesus praising your choices? And I include myself. Is Jesus praising my choices? I'm convinced Jesus has an opinion on it. He's not neutral. Just like Mary and Martha, Jesus had an opinion. He wasn't neutral. This morning, every one of us, Jesus has an opinion. Either he's rebuking us for our choices, or either he's praising us for our choices. And I'm convinced that we can get an answer for that from God's word. That's a very important thing that all of us need to have that figured out if we're at the age of accountability. God bless us. Let's kneel for prayer.